If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show. I am Adam Weinrub, joined as I am every Tuesday at noon Eastern time by FanSided's prospect guru, Eric Cole. And yes, I'm going to continue saying that on every show. We are getting ahead of the Futures game roster release. And I was like, man, are we going to get that on this Tuesday? Because then that would be a bummer if it came out before the podcast. But we haven't. And I think MLB's slacking and we're approaching 2.5 weeks until the Futures game on the Saturday before the draft. We will hit you with another draft preview as that approaches as well. But we want to talk today. We'll analyze the Futures game rosters when they hit us. We wanted to get ahead of it by dropping some names who we'd really like to see. And Eric gave us some guys who we're surprised had never been in a Futures game before. Remember, you might double up from time to time. I believe Spencer Jones was in the last two. Jason Dominguez was definitely in two in a row. Sometimes they just do that. They're like, who's that Yankee guy that you guys all like? You're screaming about? All right, we'll throw him in there. And then he'll go 0-for-2 and no one will really notice. But this year, we've got a few who have not yet gotten the showcase, certainly have earned it, and who we would be most hyped to see in the event. Sometimes it's easy to predict. Hopefully, MLB makes it easy, gives us the names that we actually want to see. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm with you. I'm excited to see the Futures game rosters. It was the first week of July last year, so I think that's probably, like, next week. It seems pretty, like, that seems like it almost has to happen next week. So fortunately, we didn't get completely co-opted this week, which was great. And again, kind of like going through the list of like guys that I wanted to see, I was a little bit surprised at the guys who hadn't been in there. I almost doubled up a couple times. I didn't really want to do that. And I certainly mixed up some players a couple times, but I think we came up with a good list of guys that we're excited about that also haven't been in the Futures game before. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The Futures game is genuinely fun. Same thing with the prospect showcase that they do before the season. You just get to see the best of the best players for the most part actually participate. Now, so there are some teams like top prospects, they don't want to like play them in games that don't matter, so they end up sending someone that maybe is a little less good. But at the same time, for the most part, they generally do a good job of like bringing top names in, and there's a lot of really fun choices this year for sure.
What I want to have MLB change is just, can we not have regular season Major League Baseball action during the Futures game? It will never happen. Like, it's just not going to happen, but there are going to be 14-15 games going on, as well as the top prospects in every organization getting to strut their stuff. And if you're tuning in for the managers and coaches, there are some fun ex-big leaguers always roaming the sidelines there as well. But make it accessible, make it easy. This doesn't even begin to open the Pandora's box of why the hell is the draft when the draft is. But we will get to that when we get to that. For now, let's predict potential Futures gamers. And Eric, I'm going to toss it to you. Who is the first name who you'd crush to see this year who has never participated in the event before?
So there's a lot of choices here. The first one that comes to mind, though, is Jesus Mate. Obviously, he hasn't been in a rookie game or Futures game before because he was playing in rookie ball. And they do not put rookie ball players in the Futures game, although he would have been fun to watch last year as well. And he was awesome last year. Has made the move over to full season ball. There was a lot of people who were curious as to whether or not his success in the Dominican Summer League in rookie ball would actually translate, and it turns out he's very, very good. Hits the ball hard, one of the better prospects in all of baseball. And he's not a guy that a lot of fans have had any chance to see whatsoever. Even like once guys get the double and triple A, you start seeing more footage. There's more coverage, but like when you're in low A, like you kind of just have to hope that like Jim Callis like finds some like grainy footage to show you and like talk about him for a little bit. Beyond that, it's you just don't really get to see him. And if we get the chance for him to go against some higher level pitching, that could be a lot of fun. It might also expose some things for him because, again, he's a very young guy. He's only 18 years old. But he's a guy, like, first and foremost, if he was to be added to the Futures game, he'd be one of the headliners for sure.
Yeah, I think he's probably, if I had to guess, going to be, like, the graphic on the tweet announcing the roster. Like, you've got to – if you don't have Mate, unless the Brewers organization threw a challenge flag or Mate's like, I got something better to do. I'm going to a Grand Prix in Monaco. Like, he literally has to be the face of this event because this is the first chance, like you said, for most fans to actually see in person – the player who they're spending $1,000 per Bowman first on. So, like, that's what the event is for, is to start Mate, give him three at-bats, and make sure that he is the centerpiece of one of these rosters. Let's move on to the next name. Who are you looking for?
Again, there's some names that are coming up in the comment sections in the chat that, like, I think are good choices. And I had a tough time narrowing this list down, but at the end of the day, I didn't want to, like, make a list of 12 names because I just had a finite amount of time this morning. And again, I wouldn't fault you if you, like, for example, Brayden Montgomery is a good choice. But at the same time, I went with Cole Epperson, who I talked to you about, that I was a little surprised wasn't in the game last year. But then it occurred to me that that was Cole Young. And, you know, apparently this all Seattle does is just draft really good shortstop prospects. But I like Cole a lot. I think that the hit tool hasn't really shown what it can be lately. I just don't think that the quality of contact has been there for him this year, but this guy can just put the bat on the ball. It's very, very good. He should stick at shortstop, no question. And because of all the other tools being, like, above average, if the hit tool is as good as we think it can be, all that's going to play up because all of a sudden he's going to be on the base more, so he's going to be able to steal more bases. He's going to hit for some more power, I think. He is a very fun prospect. He's not a great fit for the Mariners because I don't think he's going to hit very well in that park. I think he needs to have been a little bit of a smaller park to kind of do the most damage. But at the same time, you know, again, you don't turn down shortstops with this quality of talent. And again, he's going to be coming up in a hurry, I think, once he kind of gets his feet under him a little bit. Drawing a lot of walks this year. He's just doing good work. And he's another guy that I'm pretty interested to see kind of where he's at right now, especially when you go with some guys who can really throw.
Seeing a lot of names in the comments who I agree probably will be on this roster. And I will say JJ Weatherholt is one of the ones that popped out to me is just like, yep, pretty unavoidable. And sometimes performance doesn't necessarily have to match pedigree. If it's a guy who was maybe the most buzzed about draft pick of last year, he'd have to do something catastrophic to not make the list. So I would imagine that Weatherholt will be on the roster. I think Gerangelo probably will be as well for the uniqueness factor.
I do want to see the switch pitching for sure. Yeah. I want to see it. It's not going to stick like that, I don't think, but I want to see it.
Well, that's another thing where it feels like they're going to mandate it, where it's like, if there's a switch pitcher and he's a top 100 name, MLB's not going to be like, I think we can leave that guy on the sidelines. Like, no, he's like, oh, he's got a trip to Branson, Missouri, and we can't schedule over that. No, he's coming to Atlanta. You're probably going to see him.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to be fun.
Now, there's another name in the comments, though, that is on your list, so I'm going to toss it right now to the reason behind. Hey, sometimes the stats are just too glaring to ignore, and also you've got the power of the big city. I do agree that Jonah Tong is going to be among the first names who are considered for this event.
Yeah, and I think he's the best pitching prospect the Mets have, and that's a system that has Brendan Sproat in it. He's kind of an interesting profile, and that it's kind of a high-release fastball, a high-release point fastball that gets a lot of ride, gets, you know, and like, if you look at it, it's good, but you don't think that it's just like this overpowering pitch. But when you see how guys react to it and that they can't seem to pick it up or figure out what direction it's going in, and he just gets a lot of silly swings. And at the end of the day, he's just been awesome, right? He's sub 2 ERA, 13 starts, something like that. This isn't double A. This is against real hitters. So I think that, like, assuming he keeps doing what he's doing for, like, you know, one or two more starts before the Futures game, if he shows out in the Futures game, I don't really know why the Mets would not consider calling him up to the big leagues. Because, I mean, what's the difference between double A and triple A in terms of the quality of hitting he's going to face? That fastball is going to play. Maybe you want him to work on the secondaries a little bit, which are maybe lag a little bit behind, but I like the change up enough to where he can kind of keep guys off balance. There's real arm talent here, and he's certainly a guy that I like better in terms of pure stuff than I do over a lot of the pitchers in that system. And I want to see what he can do against guys who, like, know how to hit velocity that's up in the zone. And if he can get this pitch by those guys, then I don't really see why he couldn't do it against major leaguers.
I'm actually deeply angry at the comments because they're too good. Because I was about to say, you know who he reminds me of a little bit in an odd way is Tim Lincecum. And then I pan back and it's already been covered by someone who's on top of it. So I'm just going to give you, I'm going to give you the showcase here and say, yeah, I do feel like, you know, the tousled, even down to the tousled hair and the frame and going, how does he do what he's doing? I don't understand. I'm watching someone who's a completely unique beast. Yeah, he does feel like a Tim Lincecum. Maybe burns bright for a short period of time rather than being sustainable. But hey, let's burn it. Let's brighten it a little bit. Another name who you wanted to highlight again, we're talking about undeniable, right? Especially in this first round of like, hey, if MLB doesn't nail this, you know, there are ways to botch the assignment, and it would be not including these five guys. Connor Griffin is certainly someone who I would say inner circle futures game roster and like probably in every showcase event and probably on the marketing material screams undeniable at this point.
So obviously we talked about Connor Griffin a lot on this podcast. We've been excited since we started the season, and all he's done is like justify that, right? I think the more I look at him and the more I think about it, he's already a top 10 prospect in baseball. I'd pick him over Sebastian Walcott, no question. You know what I mean? There's a couple other guys in that top 10. I mean, Andrew Painter, I like him a lot, but he's been hurt and he hasn't really been able to come back. He's a guy that I would pick over him. It's crazy to me that he was at low A. He was a prep bat, got drafted last year, mashed at low A, and the Pirates are like, okay, we will promote you. We will give you a challenge. And he's hitting better at high A than he was in low A. He can do anything he wants to do on a baseball field. It is just that simple. And these are the kinds of guys you want to showcase, especially for a Pirates organization that, frankly, like doesn't deserve him. But this is a fan base that needs things to be excited about. They got excited about Paul Skeens. They tried to get excited about Henry, the former first-round pick. That didn't really quite work out the way they wanted to. But at the same time, like, he's a guy that like you can like pin your hopes on and be like, this is a guy who could like be one of those five-tool talents. I'm not saying it will for sure happen, because if one of his tools lagged behind a little bit, it is the hit tool. And maybe against real advanced pitching, maybe he finds himself in trouble. But we haven't seen any reason that that's going to happen so far. He just, whatever you throw in front of him, he just performs. It's just that simple. And if you want to get this right, you bring him to the game.
He will be there, and I would honestly bet he will be mic'd up as well. He's going to be somebody the booth talks to. He's going to be sort of a central focus. All right, hit me with that fifth name. Who is the fifth player you are most excited to see make their futures game debut in Atlanta this year?
Again, Leo DeVries seems like a pretty straightforward name. The numbers aren't great this year. They're not awesome. He's been challenged a little bit at high A, and that's fine. Again, very young player. He was pushed aggressively on purpose. But again, in terms of pure raw physical talent and how highly he's thought of, he's already a top five prospect in baseball, but in the minds of most experts. And he's in high A, and he's a teenager. Just give him a chance to get his feet under him, and he's going to show that he's like again probably the best shortstop prospect in baseball, and is probably pretty soon going to be the top prospect in baseball unless a couple guys behind him catch him, because again, Roman Anthony's getting promoted and all of a sudden, you know, there's got the guys that are in competition for him with him are in the majors right now, so it's not really an issue. These are the types of guys you want, to like top 10 prospects in this futures game, names that people know from relatively big markets, you know, Southeast California, you know, the Padres. This is a name that has become up on a lot of national coverage. This is a guy you want. Maybe the numbers aren't immediately like jump off the page at you, but at the same time, like he's one of those guys where the numbers don't really matter quite as much. And if you ask any scout, they'll tell you he's a top 10 prospect in baseball, no question. And he's someone that you want to show off, because if you put him in that, I mean, given what he did in the AFL, if you just put him in against the best of the best in the futures game, he's probably one of the front runners to be the MVP of the game.
I'm going to toss two more names at you, and they're people that I know that you have some love for. We've talked about a little bit on this podcast too. In my opinion, I'm excited to see, and I need to see Travis Sikora show me what he's got. We're now up to 9 starts and only 34 and two thirds innings, but 62 Ks and an 0.61 whip. Yeah. Now's the time. Don't get distracted by that low innings count. Just give him an inning and let it rip. And how about, I'm a real nerd and a loser, and I listen to a lot of varied podcasts where a lot of people guess at a lot of different things, and I listened to a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame podcast hosted by Joe Quazzala, who's a great comedian, and Kristen Studdard. It's a very funny podcast. But one of the things that they talk about in terms of who's getting nominated for the Rock Hall and who's getting in, like, are they already in the zeitgeist? Like, did they perform at a Rock Hall induction last year? Do they play the game? And so I'm going to give you Patrick Copen, and I'm going to say he's playing the game. The Dodgers pitching prospect is having a great year, sort of an unheralded guy, entered the season number 29 on their top 30. But he's been dominant. We have noted him as a riser on this podcast, and he went on MLB Network this week to talk about how he lost his right eye after being struck by a line drive comebacker. And so he's got a narrative edge. He is dominating with a 2.42 ERA and 13.8 Ks per nine between high A and double A this year. And he is playing the game. He's on MLB Network talking about his comeback and his return. And so I'm just going to go ahead and say, in a Dodger system somewhat in flux too, where like Dalton Rushing, Freeland, maybe we see Freeland and Copen. That's my pick, I think.
I like those picks. There's some good names coming out in the chat too. I mean, again, this is a list that was very limited on purpose, because if I go through all the guys that I want to see in the futures game, I'm just going to be projecting rosters at that point. And that gets a little bit long, a little bit hard to write, especially.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You know, kind of want, if you want things to be updated and you want to have kind of weekly updates as well. But overall, again, those five names, those names you mentioned as well, all of them, I want to see some of these guys I just haven't had a chance to even see live, because you can only watch so much baseball, right? And at the end of the day, like, I haven't got a chance to actually put my eyes on much of Travis Sikora, but I would very much like to. Just to get a sense of, like, you know, what, when he's up against good hitters, how do they respond to him? What does his stuff look like? Because so far, it just seems like no one can get him.
Yeah, I don't. Again, that's the purpose of the showcase is, okay, I see the stats. They are leaping off the page. What is going on? I couldn't make it to Wilmington. So show me on the national stage why exactly this is popping against the best hitters in the game. We can't wait for the real roster reveal. I suspect you will see most of these names when their numbers are called. Copen, I don't know. That's me sort of freelancing and coping a little bit with roster projection. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves. I might be reading them wrong, but I want to stake my flag on Copen Island and be first in case that does happen. We got some other names to mention who've been hot over the past week, entering another week of action, and some who have not been quite so hot. And some of those coolers are in the comments already, unfortunately, or have been mentioned by you previously on the show. Let's go with the hot zone first. And again, I'm going to have to start this off by saying that Spencer Jones is on fire. And no matter what you think of Spencer Jones, this was a week that he owned.
Yeah, we'll start with Spencer. Again, he's a guy that if it clicks, he's going to be an all-star because the power and the speed is just that good. He has just one of those frames that he's just going to do a lot of damage. The problem is just the hit tool, right? And whether or not the swing and miss is going to be too much for him to be able to get to it. There's a pretty obvious Joey Gallo sort of comparison he made, at least in terms of being a hitter. But I don't think Joey Gallo was anywhere close to as big as Spencer Jones was. And again, love the upside. I just, that shine wearing off because of the swing and miss that has kind of gotten worse over time, not so great. However, he's having a pretty good year this year. And you know, they does seem like opposing pitchers are respecting his ability to hurt them more because he's walking a little bit more and kind of the pitches that he's seeing, he's not getting as many pitches to hit. But last week, that didn't seem to matter because he went for 10 for 21, 3 home runs, 8 RBIs, stole a couple bases, walked more than he struck out, which is probably the biggest takeaway. Again, just looked really good. Happy to have him on the list. A guy that I wish we got to talk about more, but he is definitely kind of a weird profile for us to talk about until he can kind of figure things out or actually get worse. He's kind of in that weird middle zone where he's like kind of sort of still good. Another name, Hector Rodriguez from the Reds. He might have had the best week in all the minor leagues. And he might be the guy that the Reds send to the Futures game. They'll have a couple candidates that they could send as well. It kind of depends if they want to send guys who have played in the game before. Was kind of a fringe, like top 10, top 15 prospect outfield guy who could hit a little bit. But this year, it's really kind of clicking for him. He's hitting really well. And he's going to force himself to do a conversation pretty soon on a Reds team that could really use some young guys actually stepping up versus just having a lot of prospect pedigree. 17 for 30 last week with 3 homers. Walked 3 times, only struck out 3 times, drove in 6 runs, a bunch of extra base hits. He was just awesome. He was just really, really good. I already said something nice about a Yankee, so now I need to say something nice about a next Yankee. That's Christian Zazueta for the Dodgers. Wasn't super well known as a pitching prospect. He was an international signing for like six figures, like $110,000, something like that. And then the Yankees traded him to the Dodgers, I believe, in the Caleb Ferguson deal, if that seems right. And again, 6'4", mid-90s fastball, has a pretty good changeup. Because he has a good changeup and he also has a cutter that he's implementing, I think he's going to be good against lefties as opposed to kind of what you'd be expecting is good against righties. So I think platoons aren't really going to be a problem for him. And he made one start last week and gave up. And in 5 innings, he gave up 1 hit and struck out 10 batters with no walks, which seems pretty good to me.
It does seem good to me. And also, you broke the news to me on this podcast right now that he was at one point a New York Yankee. So off to the content minds I go after this show is done. Yeah, it was the Ferguson deal. It was Matt Gage and Zazueta for Caleb Ferguson, who lasted 3 months in New York and was terrible. So fallers from the past week of action includes my mood. Now that I know that, I'm thinking about Caleb Ferguson again. But beyond, what about the players on the field who saw their stars dim a little bit this past week?
Again, these are all names that I still like as humans and as players. I am not writing them off whatsoever. But first one is Sebastian Walcott, who's a guy that it was mentioned in the comments as a potential Futures game rep. And I'd like to see him in the Futures game too, because he's one of those like really young guys. Maybe the numbers don't quite show how talented they are quite yet. Has had a bit of a rough go in AA. Started off pretty well, has kind of slumped pretty badly. He's hitting 189 over his last 10 games and no power to speak of. I think this is just an adjustment to AA. The pitchers kind of know how to attack him and he needs to make the adjustment to be able to beat them. I'm not drawing too many conclusions about it, but he just hasn't been particularly good. Another name is Charlie Condon. Again, he showed so much power and he was just so insane when he was at Georgia that like I would have picked him first overall last year. I have no problems with picking Travis Bazzana. It's a safer pick, I think, but just the power was too much for me, I think, to pass on. Instead, the Rockies get him. Broke his wrist, had a kind of a slow start. But when he came back, he was hitting really well, but the power hasn't really come back at all. And again, just 5 hits in his last 7 games. Only one of them was a home run, and that was the only extra base hit amongst them, which is kind of bizarre for that. I mean, like, you look at him, and he's not like a guy who's just like hitting, shouldn't be a guy who's hitting seeing eye singles, but that's kind of what happened, except for the one bomb that he hit. The last one's Noah Schultz. Again, another name that was mentioned in the comments for the Futures game. Another guy that I like a lot. I love the frame. 6'10. It's just 6'10 with that kind of stuff. I just don't know how hitters, especially like same side hitters, can pick up his pitches at all. I just don't understand how that's possible. Got promoted to AAA at the middle of June. He earned that promotion. He was pitching well. Unfortunately, first started at AAA. Didn't go so great. 5.1 innings pitch, 6 runs on 8 hits. He was fine in the strike zone. He wasn't like walking a bunch of guys. It wasn't a nerve thing. I think just kind of look, you're at AAA, so you're kind of at the mercy of the defense behind you a lot of times. A lot of soft contact just kind of found holes, and he's kind of they dinked away at him, and he gave up a couple big hits, but nothing crazy. I'm not worried about him at all, but it wasn't the most ideal start for a guy who just got the AAA and might be trying to force the issue for a major league promotion pretty soon.
DDA Fuentes is a stud. I just want to say that before you do as well. It's in the comments. So I will mention, of course, he is a stud. We'll end with a little positivity. Yeah, bummer for several of those dudes. And Condon, someone that we expected so much of entering this year. And the conversation was how quickly can he rise? And in actuality, here's Chase Burns making his MLB debut Tuesday night while Condon is still sort of struggling in the low minors and struggling through several injuries. Before we sign off, expectations for Burns tonight. I know you are not a Wake Forest baseball program fan necessarily, but the Yankees lineup that loves to strike out, and the 13 Ks last night against a combination of Nick Lodolo and just a whole bunch of relievers. I'm not sure how long Burns will go, and even if he's, you know, emptying the tank, I think you're looking at maybe five innings into the sixth, but I don't think five innings, nine or 10 Ks is out of the question. Especially considering how like Jack Kochanowicz dominated the Yankees and Kyle Hendricks got 9 Ks, I think, in his sleep last week. So I'm not going to say win loss. And I don't think there's going to be that, you know, you're not going to see that durability on display, but hey, kid, go out there, empty the tank, show them what you got. I think the high octane mix is going to be too much for the Yankees to handle.
You are correct. I am not a particularly big fan of the Wake Forest pitching lab. Thanks to Ryan Cusick and Jared Schuster ruining 2 first-round picks for the Braves. Very sad for me. Burns does have something going for him is that he didn't spend most of his time at Wake Forest, so he at least learned some good things elsewhere before he came over to Wake Forest and got his draft position. Look, I love the fastball. Throws really hard. If the Yankees go up there hunting fastballs, it's going to be up to him to have the secondaries actually do something. If they're hunting that fastball and they think he's going to rely on it and he's landing the slider, he's landing other pitches for strikes, you know, getting them, speeding them up and slowing them down and changing his speeds, the Yankees might have a really tough time with this kid because he's very, very good. This is a college arm. Again, not for a program that I would put much stock in, but at the same time, in terms of major league talent, but one that he went out against really good player, good teams, and he performed well on national stages. So, obviously, going against the Yankees, a little bit of a different animal, especially in your debut. But at the same time, he's not like a high schooler that barely seen professionals at all. And then he's going to be staring at Aaron Judge tonight or whatever, right? So, again, love the arm talent. If he is able to land his secondaries for pitches, for strikes, then he's going to do great. If not, then I think the Yankees might actually be able to tee off on him. Because if it's velocity and they're able to kind of sit on it, Aaron Judge might just hit 3 home runs tonight.
Yeah, I do think Aaron Judge going yard is a solid bet, especially given the way he started yesterday and what he's watching Cal Raleigh do. But I'm gonna go ahead and say, yeah, 5 1/3, 4 hits, 2 earned, and then maybe a battle of the bullpens. But respectable debut for Chase Burns for sure. I'll give Aaron Judge a solo shot. I'll give the Yankees a manufactured run with a double, a grounder, and a sac fly. And then we'll get to work in the later innings and see if they can take home a victory. Also, Jacob Mizorowski and Paul Skeens this week. Set your calendars. Set your calendars, set your clocks. I mean, set your timers. Set something that'll make noise. Don't just set a paper calendar. Set something that'll buzz you so that you know to watch that damn game, because you're not going to get a better pitching matchup for the rest of the year. And it's Mizorowski's third start. So, yeah, settle.
Yeah, the average fastball velocity in that one amongst the starters, I do not think we're going to see a higher for a long time, because those guys just throw gas. And Cutter, and as for Uncle Ted talking about cutters, I promise you there are good pitchers in major leagues that do not have cutters.
Yeah.
So well, it will be okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. But maybe he will develop one by game time based on the Yankees' luck lately. It's highly possible he could level up. We will see everybody on the flip side next week. Maybe we might even have a futures game roster for you. But either way, we'll certainly have names to dissect. Appreciate everybody joining us today, as always, and bringing your comments and your good questions. We will be here again noon Eastern next Tuesday. Please subscribe to the Moonshot if you have not, or read our content and more in Eric's supplementary prospect pieces on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansider.com. That is fansider.com/baseball-insiders. Join us in the Discord as well. You can ask Eric and I questions between shows, as well as Fansided MLB Insider Robert Murray, who does a private Q&A there at 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, and we'll be back on this feed tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Until then, we will catch you later. Take care and go Minor League Baseball.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool, but financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.